church, and welcome back to Get to Know Grace. Welcome back to this time when we get to know one another a little bit better. This time when we get to know God's grace a little bit better. I am so excited to be back in this space, back in this way of gathering together again after a brief hiatus over the holidays, and we are looking forward to another great season of getting to know our church, God's grace, and how they interact all the time and in amazing ways. So let us start by opening in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you such thanks for this time together to be community in this way. As we gather in this space, in this time, across the interwebs, across the sound waves, be with all those present, all those recording, all those listening, and everyone in between. May your grace extend beyond our imagination, between each other, and around your world as we continue to navigate the unknowns of COVID, as we continue to navigate the unknowns of so much in our world, as we continue to navigate the realities of being community in an ever-changing world. Bless us, hold us, keep us, and remind us that all we do for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Grace Lutheran Church, I am excited to welcome back a familiar face and voice to the podcast. So please welcome with me Pastor Salvador.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be back, but I'm here to take over because today we are going to know more about Pastor Rachel.
Yes.
This great pastor that she has been a blessing to all of us. She's a fun person, but we want to know more about you.
Yeah.
So how about if we start and you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you like to the people, all the people of Grace to know about you.
I have to say, it's weird being on this side of things, so I'm a little nervous. So, a big shout out to all of our previous and future guests for being in the hot seat. But, oh my gosh, a little bit about me. Well, I grew up in Alaska. My folks and my little brother still live there and loved it. Loved living in a village, loved living in the bustling metropolis of Fairbanks, Alaska, which is, I don't even know how many people, but at the time it was the biggest city I'd ever lived in, and I've since learned there are larger. Loved learning and living alongside so many Alaskans, both, well, every single background you can imagine ends up in Alaska, and it was amazing to live and learn there. Learned so much of who I am by living alongside and learning alongside the Alaska Native people and their presence in both Nome and Fairbanks and their wisdom, and it's just etched into who I am in really profound ways. So I am really, really grateful for all of that as an experience of what that meant as a childhood. And then when I left for college, I went to Minnesota. I went to college at St. Olaf College, which is a traditionally Lutheran school. And I went in part because my folks had gone there and I thought that was an easy way in. But I mostly went because I was scared of going to a big city. It was a small town in the middle of cow fields in southern Minnesota, and it felt comfortable, which was good because it was the first time I'd lived outside of Alaska. And there started sort of engaging some really intense conversations around religion and church and what the role of the church in the world is, and trying to discern my part in it. When I was in confirmation in high school, or in junior high rather, my pastor at the time suggested that I go to seminary, and I loved her to death, but I thought she was crazy for saying anything like that, because I just thought, there's no way I could be a pastor. That's not for me. I really thought I was gonna be a teacher or a therapist, actually. But it was when I was in college that I started thinking, how to merge my passions for being in a learning space, learning alongside other people, sometimes being in that teaching role, but mostly just sort of walking along together with folks who are discovering new information. How to merge that with my love for people's stories and listening and being in relationship with people in not a therapist way, but a therapeutic way of just feeling each other's hearts and feeling each other's energy in the same space. So I wanted to be a teacher, I wanted to be a therapist, and then I was discovering this love for religious and theological debate and conversation and what it meant to be an adult having those conversations and not just sort of the one bugging the adults in my life about questions of faith or questions of church, that it felt like there was a responsibility to take on that I hadn't felt before. And so trying to figure out how to merge those three of teaching, therapy, and faith. And I don't remember when it was, but I remember at one point, it was my sister at one point who said, well, duh, you can do all three as a pastor. And I thought, nope, not yet. So I ran away and I ran to South Africa for a year. And it was in South Africa that I lived with a pastor and lived with a dean there, my host father, my Baba. And Baba really taught me a lot about how to balance family and work life and how you can be both family and pastor, and that sort of delicate and holy balance. And I learned so much that came back and decided to go to seminary. I said, I can say yes to seminary. I don't know if I'll say yes to church. I don't know if I'll say yes to pastor, but I'll say yes to school because I love school. I love learning. So I said yes to seminary. So I went to seminary in Berkeley, California, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. Among so many other things, important things that happened there, I also met my fiance there, met Ryan there, fell in love, started dating. Or rather, started dating and then fell in love. but got to know each other really well there and just have so much in common that it really is just a blessing to be able to be dreaming and living our life together, dreaming about what our future will look like. And we're getting married this spring, so that's...
Yay.
Yes, that's taking up... that's kind of my hobby right now is wedding planning, but... anyways, so we met there, and I finished my studies there in 2018, and then did a year of internship in Evergreen, Colorado at Evergreen Lutheran. And then from there was called here, was called to Grace Lutheran. So was ordained January 3rd, started here January 27th, which means we're coming up close to 2 years that I've been at Grace, which is wild to think about. And it's been a crazy 2 years. Learned a lot about what community is, what this community is, who this community is, and how to be church and community in the midst of a pandemic when none of us had any prior knowledge about how to do that. And I guess the last thing to know about, well, not the last thing, but an important thing to know about me and it's just the gratitude I have for all the people along the way. There are so many names throughout all of the parts of that story that I've just shared. So many names and faces and people that I just wish I could just have everybody live in the same place. That would be great because I've got, you know, beloved people all over and I so wish all of you could meet and get to know each other because I just, there are so many people that made that story possible. Who made that story special. And it's just humbling and exciting and wonderful and incredible to be able to be a part of all of it. I will say the other most important thing to know about me is that Ryan and I adopted the cutest dog in 2020. His name is Theo, and he, for anyone listening, he looks like a multicolored version. Not even. He just looks like the tramp from Lady and the Tramp. He looks like, in the live action Lady and the Tramp they made a few years ago, he looks like that dog. So anyways, he's the love of my life. Sorry, Ryan.
Well, if you go and see on CT on Instagram, you will see everything makes sense.
Yes.
And
yes.
One other great thing is you said, oh, I fell in love and then we're dating. Well, the order, at this point, the order of the facts, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the result, right?
Yes. Yep.
And we thank Baba for leading you and guiding you. The result is also you being here with us.
Yeah. Amen.
And now, tell us what first brought you to Grace and what keeps you coming back?
Yes. Well, what first drew me to Grace Lutheran was the Bishop of the Northwest Washington Synod, since she called me and said she had a job offer for me. But what really snagged me, I'll say, what really drew me in beyond that first initial pull was sitting with the board and Pastor John and Pastor Chad up in our adult learning center. We were sitting around the tables and we were just talking about what it means to be a pastor. I wasn't yet ordained, so at this point it was still kind of a dream to be thinking about what it means to be a pastor and all that. And Pastor John shared, he asked about sort of how I view pastoral care, and then he asked a little bit of, or he explained a little bit why he was asking, and he just shared that that moment is so holy and special and beautiful to be able to walk alongside people, not only in the midst of the hardest of life, but also to celebrate with them when things are just worth celebrating. And I loved that awareness of the reality of life, that life isn't just the mountaintop, life is the valleys too. And that has been so much part of the story of learning who Grace is just learning the willingness to be with one another when things suck. Things are just really hard, and we show up for one another, and I love that. And that was so evident in Pastor John's question that it just hit me right in my heart that these are good people, this is a good place. And then as we talked more and shared more, the board shared with me the newly minted vision statement and vision and mission statements. And I just couldn't let go of the idea of a community that wanted to grow, that wanted to move and was excited about movement and wanted to, you know, follow God's grace wherever it led, but hopefully to a better place, to be better, to be more loving and more inclusive and more welcoming and more honoring of everyone and their life experience. That just, I think the comment from Pastor John really, I think, solidified my feeling that relationship was really important here. And then the sharing of the vision and mission really solidified really piqued my interest of where is this church going and can I be a part of it? And then to answer the question of what keeps me coming back, I could not, it is very hard to imagine who Grace would be or what Grace would be without the people who are here. And it's really what we do together that brings me back every time. It's the worship, it's prayer life, it's Bible study, it's all the stuff that comes that is so important. It's not just stuff, but it's the stuff we do together that builds a communal life that's so beautiful. And it's so beautiful because of the people who are showing up. We have, I know I'm biased, but I think we have the coolest staff to work with, just the coolest servant leaders. The whole reason I get out of bed in the morning is because I get to come in to, whether it's literally come in or over Zoom, and work with just some of the best people. Like I think of yourself and Pastor Chad and our whole staff, just everyone is so excited to be here. and so aware of how hard it is to be church. That's true of our servant leaders. Our servant leaders are so aware of how hard it is to do church right now and how important it is. And that just makes my heart happy and makes me, like I said, get out of bed in the morning. It makes it worth it. Like, this is all... There's something about seminary when you're talking about it and theorizing what it means to be church, or, you know, it's one thing to write papers about how you would respond to a pastoral crisis. It's an entirely different thing to sit in a room and cry with people or pray with people or to sit in a room with leaders and say, how the heck do we lead right now? Because we have no idea. And that is just so incredible. There just aren't words. So that's what keeps me coming back.
Good. And I'm asking the same question, so you go through whatever everyone goes through.
Yeah.
Before.
And yeah, you're putting
me. Before I ask the last question,
yes, yeah.
I just want to ask you.
Yeah.
We already heard a little bit about you,
yeah,
and a little bit about your ministry, how hard it is sometimes,
yeah,
and then planning a wedding, and then trying to have a life, and how do you deal with it?
Mm.
Any hobbies, any activity, I don't know, how do you deal with it?
Yes, I channel a lot of stress into knitting. Knitting is my go-to thing, and honestly, the only, and that's kind of a joking answer, but it's a real answer too, that a lot of my stress comes out in my knitting, but I just love, I'll throw this out there as like a little bit of a blurb, as a little sales pitch, maybe? That's not the right word, but just a, I love crafting of all sorts, so if anyone out there wants to get together and do some like crafting ministry, let's talk, because we're going to make it work. But that's the, like, that's kind of where the creative juices sit when it's just hard to live life. But the more serious answer is, or the more real answer maybe, is really remembering to lean on the folks here. I struggle a lot still after 2 years. I still struggle with the idea of getting out of the mindset of school, of this is a project and it needs to get done, and it needs to get done well, be done well. That's not ministry. Ministry is doing it together, being in relationship, and knowing and trusting that that's the important part. The product is important. The worship is what's important, but the relationship is really what grounds it and makes it worth it. And that's been hard in COVID, because it's so easy to just say, well, I'm worried about getting you sick, so I'm just going to close my office door and get it done. And it's tempting. I shouldn't say it's easy. It's tempting to do that. Well, and frankly, it is easier to do that, but it's not what gives any of us life or joy or the ability to deal with all of it. So the short answer to your question is that I deal with it by cuddling with Theo, by watching comedies that have nothing to do with real life, and by knitting a lot. And then the longer real answer is by leaning on others and by remembering that we're all learning how to live right now, or relearning how to live right now, because this isn't anything that any of us know how to do.
Great. And when you tell us a moment that it was a game changer, when you see, then you saw God's grace in your life, or that passage that you read and then you understand because you were going through something, that
yeah,
game changer that it goes with, along with God.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of one. like many of our guests, I've been trying to think of one instance that really highlighted it, and I couldn't think of just one. I kept thinking of so many, and it was always based in someone. It was always because someone else was there. Every time that I, and it was small moments that meant a lot. Everything from like handwritten notes from my grandfather when I graduated seminary and I was really unsure about what was coming next. It was, he wrote in a letter to me, what was it? For all that was, thanks. For all that will be, yes. And just that, the simplicity and the grace there of the important things, our gratitude and openness, and everything else is gravy. Everything else is extra. And there are little moments like that that I can think of God's presence showing up over and over in ways that meant my hope was restored, because my hope on my own is not great. It's been tested in COVID, let me tell you. But just the little things of, I'm trying to think of more specific examples now because they all kind of got jumbled in my head just now as I started tearing up about my grandfather. But, oh gosh, what's another one that was really good? I think of like the people. I'm thinking of the Reverend Tessa Moon Lyseth and Deacon John Lyseth, who were my mentors when I lived in South Africa. I was with the program Young Adults and Global Mission, and through that program, they make sure that there are in-country coordinators who kind of help you navigate what it means to be a young adult in a different country. And John and Tessa were my mentors, and just hearing from them over and over that year the importance of questioning, the importance of wrestling, the importance of discerning, the importance of anger, the importance of bringing all of who we are to God, and not just the quote-unquote good stuff, but the messy stuff too, that sometimes we like to think doesn't exist or is easier if we just ignore it. At least I like to think that. I shouldn't say we. I like to think that sometimes. And their encouragement to just bring it all meant the world. So having that in people showing up, I just know was God showing up every time and saying, hey, I know what you're going through. Hey, it's okay. Or, hey, get your butt in gear because it's time to do something different. That was also Tessa and John for me, and I appreciated the push. All of that is just, it's amazing. God's consistency is always mind-blowing to me. Yeah.
It's awesome how he cares about us, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And for the, just one more thing.
Yeah.
Any advice for our listeners?
Oh gosh. Oh, I'm still, it still blows my mind that I'm in a position where people ask me my advice, because I don't think I have anything to share. But I guess a reminder, advice. I don't know, but a reminder of how life-giving it can be to be in relationship and conversation with one another. I think the isolation of COVID, as we face Omicron, as we face different but similar ways of isolation and separation, just the power it has to be in community with one another, the power it, like, I had this couple nights ago, my family got together and played board games over Zoom, and that's not something we would have ever imagined 2 years ago, and it was life-giving. And so, yeah, just the reminder that reaching out is life-saving, I guess. Thank and prayer is right up there. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all this beautiful conversation. Thank you for opening the doors and let us know a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah.
And we thank everyone, and we pray for everyone who's listening. And we want to say thank you again.
Yeah.
Can we close in a word of prayer?
Yes, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all the ways that we can communicate with each other. Thank you for the life of our Pastor Rachel. Bless her. And thank you for being with her and letting her know that you care about her. We pray for all her projects, for all the activities that she has, for this coming wedding. And we pray for Ryan to be that man that she needs in her life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Pastor Salvador. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you back here next week with another Get to Know Grace guest. Take care and blessings.